Welcome back to the Parkinson's Road podcast and to another installment of the ABCs of PD, where I help you understand the vocabulary of Parkinson's disease. On this episode, we're going to be talking about festinating or festination, and it's used in reference to the way a person with Parkinson's walks. So in order to understand what festinating means, you must first understand the overall Parkinsonian gait. When I say Parkinsonian gait, I am referring to the rather specific way that people with Parkinson's tend to walk. The Parkinsonian gait is progressive in nature, meaning that at the early stages of the disease, you may have some small changes in the way that you walk, but as the disease progresses, there are more and more aspects of the Parkinsonian gait that become apparent. Early stages of the disease, people tend to start walking with a shortened stride length, so that means your steps aren't quite as long. And you might notice that you're moving a little bit slower, but a lot of us, I think, chalk it up to, you know, stress, age, injury, whatever. We find a way to sort of justify why we're walking a little bit slower. But then what starts happening is on one side, there's decreased arm swing. Oftentimes, what comes after that is the foot on that same affected side will start hitting the ground flat instead of rolling through from heel to toe. And for many of us, this is the point when we're diagnosed. It's very visible that there is something wrong with the way that we're walking. And a lot of times, someone else will come and say, "You're walking funny. You should go see the doctor." As the disease continues to progress, more and more symptoms become present. And it may vary in how it presents. It may not present in this exact order, but this gives you the basic idea of what is happening. As your disease is progressing, there is more and more difficulty in movement. So you start to slow down and your muscles become more rigid. If you're affected on one side, the disease will spread to both sides. So now you're affected on both sides. So now you're in a position where your feet are not rolling through when you're walking. They're hitting the ground flat. You are not taking as long a steps, and oftentimes you're not lifting your feet up off the floor or the ground, as high as you should. So there's that shuffle element where your heels or your feet are dragging, and then you're not swinging your arms. And as the disease progresses even further, there tends to be forward flexion of the trunk, knees, and your elbows are partially flexed. The best way to get an idea of what this actually looks like is to Google Parkinson's, and there's that image of an older man who's hunched forward, and he's got his hands kind of out in front of him, and he's bent a little bit at his knees. That is the posture that people who have Parkinson's will adopt when they're going to start trying to walk. Keep that picture in mind. Festination, which originates from the Latin festinare, meaning to hasten, is defined as an involuntary acceleration of gait, and the person has difficulty stopping. With that Google image in your head, now imagine this person is going to try to start moving. Their upper body is in front of their lower body, and they're unable to take large steps. So you can imagine what's going to happen. As they start to move, as they manage to get their feet up off the ground, not very high, and they're taking small steps, gravity starts to pull on the upper body, and the upper body accelerates faster than the lower body. To compensate, step cadence has to accelerate in order to try to keep the lower body under the upper body, and it's not possible to do that. So they try to walk faster and faster, and eventually they end up falling over. Gravity wins. And that's what festination is. It's those little tiny steps, and the person accelerates faster and faster and faster because gravity is pulling on their upper body and they just can't keep up. Hopefully they catch themselves before they actually have a fall. A lot of times people end up kind of stumbling over into a wall or onto a piece of furniture. The main treatments for the Parkinsonian gait and festination as a part of that are medication and DBS. But if you're early on in the disease process, I think there are some things that you can do to help to mitigate and maybe even improve your gait and hopefully prevent you from having falls. Let's start with what I think would be the most important thing. And because the main treatment for this is medication, because the Parkinsonian gait and festination as a part of that are a direct result of a lack of dopamine. So the first thing that I would suggest would be to work closely with your neurologist to make sure that your medications are optimized for you. As you all know, I am a huge advocate for exercise, any kind of exercise, to help slow down or at least mitigate the progress of the disease. But here's where I think having some specificity will help you in your approach. Focusing on strengthening your lower body and your core, which would also include your back, will help you to maintain good balance and stability, good posture, and will help to keep you ambulating, which is a very fancy way of saying walking, properly for longer. What I mean is, I want you to consider focusing on strengthening your glutes, quads, hamstrings, calves, and back. And I'm going to suggest that you work with a trainer because they can help to guide you in the proper techniques on how to train these muscle groups. And they'll also help you to continue to progress, as we often underestimate our own abilities and strengths. Another great tool for helping to promote proper walking patterns are Nordic walking poles. These are great as they help to stabilize you. So if you're someone who's maybe starting to have some issues with your walking, Nordic walking poles will help to stabilize you, especially your core, and they help to force you to walk in a more upright position. There's a technique to using them, and this technique will promote stride length, and they're an excellent workout. So not only are you keeping yourself upright and keeping yourself safe by using something to help you walk, but you're also getting a good workout. I would just encourage you to make sure you follow the instructions on how to use them. YouTube can be a great resource for that, and ensure that you buy the appropriate size or have them sized for your height and arm length and all the different measurements that are required. That would be important. Also, mindfulness can play a really massive role in helping to improve things. By mindfulness, I mean paying attention and being aware of your body's position before you start to walk can really help to ensure that you maintain good proper walking patterns right from the first step. So some things that you need to do sort of a little once over of your body, and we're going to start from the top and we're going to work our way down. Think about your posture. Are your shoulders back and down? Is your chin up and your chest out? You want to get yourself into that position. Make sure that when you're going to start walking that you push off from your toe and your forward foot touches down with its heel first and then rolls through to its toes. You need to really concentrate on this, and you may need to actively dorsiflex or flex your toes up towards your shin to get that foot in that position so it's going to roll through. Are your arms swinging? It's important that your arms swing. And again, you may have to force your arms to swing, so be conscious of that. When you're walking, are you lifting your legs up so your feet are actually clearing the ground? It may feel like you have to exaggerate this movement, and that's okay. As you get stronger, it will begin to feel more natural, but I want you to think about lifting your feet up off the ground as completely as you can. The best way to practice walking is to do it on a treadmill facing a mirror and look at yourself. I like treadmill walking because you can control the speed and the elevation to which you're walking. So it's a safe environment. And if you need to stop suddenly, you can stop the treadmill and safely get off. This is something that I did very early on after my diagnosis. I had been walking with a Parkinsonian gait for a while. So my walking patterns after I started medication improved, but I needed to retrain my body on how to ambulate correctly. So what I did is I would get on the treadmill at the gym. I had the symptoms on one side, so I would watch the good side and try to get my affected side to imitate what the good side was doing. I would pay attention to how it felt for my foot to roll through its gait. How are my muscles moving? You know, am I pushing off my toes? Are my glutes activating? What muscles are activating? How does it feel when my good arm swings, and try to get the affected side to imitate that swing. It just helps to reconnect the mind to the muscles. And because some of these movements don't feel natural anymore, you need to be able to see what's happening with your body to recognize that it doesn't feel natural, but it looks natural. A part of that I forgot to mention with mindfulness is using external auditory cues like music or metronome. Listening to music while you're walking on the treadmill can help you to walk to a beat, and it gets your body back into that natural rhythm. The other thing you can do is, if you're having troubles or you're out walking and you feel like you're getting a little bit unstable, is to call out a cadence in your head, left, right, or you can even count 1, 2, 3, 4. make sure you do this in your head, because if people hear you counting out when you're walking, they're going to think you're a little bit weird. But it can help get your body back into that rhythm. And when we move to a rhythm, we tend to move more naturally. You may also want to consider taking a Parkinson's specific exercise program like PD Warrior. I understand that not everybody has access to these types of exercise programs in their community, but some of them can be delivered through the internet to your home and you can follow along at home. So I would encourage you to look into that as well. But if you feel unsure of where you should start or where you may be at on the progression of the Parkinsonian gait, you could also see a physiotherapist and they can help assess your gait and get you started off on the right foot. Joining me here on the Parkinson's Road podcast. I hope you find the information that I shared with you relevant and it helps you to manage and make appropriate health decisions about your Parkinson's disease. I believe that the more you understand your chronic illness, the better you are able to manage it, which leads to better overall outcomes, which means you live a happier, longer life. If you do like this podcast, please consider subscribing so you'll never miss an episode. I will be posting some helpful links in the description of this podcast, as well as on my Facebook page, so don't forget to check that out too, and make sure to hit that like button. Please join me next time, where we will be discussing the impact Parkinson's can have on maintaining good oral health. Until then, remember, chin up, chest out, and swing those arms. Until next time.